Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
I'll tell you what, Tunji Adebayo.
Adebayo.
Yeah, listen, this guy is on fire. He's here at Q Camp, Entrepreneur Camp. But here's what we're going to talk about today. You said last year, hey, I got this book in me. And I challenged you to say, get that puppy out. Because why don't you tell that whole story about the author, writer, you know.
So we're walking and we're talking. And Dr. Kale, I'm talking about the book. Like I said, I had this book in me. You know how it goes. It's been like 2 years and you already written the draft, but is it good enough going through the whole process? And he's talking about you're an IP company. He's talking about like the forms of income. And then he says to me this, he says, you have to understand, yes, you're talented, but perspective. He said, I'm an author. I'm a writer who also speaks. He said, you are a speaker who writes. Not only do you need to get out the book, you need to give them an audio book. Like, that's your responsibility as a speaker. Mm. You owe it to them. They're expecting it and they deserve it.
That's right.
Like, you'll do your clients, the people you're servicing, a disservice if you don't have an audio book as well. So I dropped the book in January, and after it was published, I locked myself in a room and got the audio book out as well, because his voice was in my head.
Yeah.
I knew that I had to get them back to back because people expected it and they deserved it.
That's right.
I saw it as a responsibility. So all the credit, I appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I view it as that biblical passage about the talents.
Yes.
You know, and in my opinion, I might have gotten two, but you got 20. God gave you 20 talents. And I'm like, man, we got to get this out there. And we just had a great chat even about you being the front stage man, and you have identified a backstage man.
Yeah.
And so this friend of yours, he really, and this is common where our listeners today may have a really amazing gift, but all the details can distract them. So one of the most locked in people when you're speaking. I'm texting you, dude, I'm at Chipotle. What can I get you? I can't even get a hold of you.
Do not disturb,
which is a funny joke. But the point is that you are so locked in there. How do you think some of the other details when you leave the audience can, like, you know, maybe talk about some fails? Like, how have you struggled with that? And how are you going to now push through?
I think it's, with anything, it's developing a good relationship with people. It takes time.
Mm.
You can be in the moment and you can knock it out of the park, but then the follow-up piece.
Mm.
Right? Like, how are you doing? What did you learn? How have you applied it?
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes it's almost you shoot yourself in the foot because they would want you to come back.
Yeah.
They wanted 4 or 5 sessions. They wanted to build a relationship.
Yes.
And you're so focused on the next thing that you didn't finish doing right by this thing. You didn't keep the book open and turn to the next chapter.
Yeah.
You closed the book and put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
So that's how I've messed myself up. It's a great opportunity. It was a great opportunity. Everybody was happy. And it's that deep breath of, what now? And I'm already out of the room.
Yep.
Right? And I didn't even hear the what now, because I'm working on the next thing, the next speech, the next opportunity, when it's really about building and cultivating relationships.
That's right.
So that's the piece I'm working on now.
Yeah.
The people that I've worked with, how do I continue to work with them? Yep. How do I service them better?
Yeah.
How do I build out these different systems, these different streams that aren't just streams of income, but they're streams of value?
Mm, that's good. I see that. I looked at your LinkedIn and I'm thinking, like, legitimately, I'm thinking, you're a world-class speaker. You're a world-class speaker. You are. And yet out on social media, it's like a newer thing for you.
Mm.
Right? Like, I looked at your LinkedIn recommendations. And you don't have a ton.
No.
But are you afraid to ask?
No, it's not even. I'm not afraid at all.
Just haven't thought about it. Okay.
Just like it's not. Okay. I haven't put it on the priority list.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still one of those things that, oh, I know I need to do it.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps dropping down because that doesn't have a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Right. My,
that's
my craft, my idea isn't, I need to be the best LinkedIn professional, have the best LinkedIn account, even though it matters.
But we need, we need to get your chief of staff over there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we were talking about my coach, Dan Sullivan, who wrote the book, Who Not How. Tunji doesn't need to be the how for everything. In fact, if we start making you, it's almost like a surgeon. You know, you're kind of like a surgeon who you need the nurses to prep the room so that when you walk in, you can make the communication incision and like give them value. But you don't need to worry about all the tools and the cleaning and the billing. Like that's all going to mess you up. Right?
Yeah. Just that clarity of mind to be able to have it together and know that the relationship is being fostered and cultivated, even, and it doesn't just have to be me.
Yeah.
Right. It does. And I think that's the most profound thing, that not that I don't want to be a master of everything.
No.
Right. I don't want to have to juggle 10 different things.
You shouldn't have to. Yeah.
Right. And it's.
Yeah. So so offline, we'll talk to your chief of staff and give him the vision.
Absolutely.
But now let's talk about this incredible book. This is amazing. I don't think there's any other book like it on the planet. I see you on, I follow you on Instagram. And I see what you do, but why African proverbs? And I'm going to show them a little bit about your website, but why is that the focus?
I love this book because it is genuinely my personal journey, right? Going through a hard time in life. I was going through like 2020 as we're all going through it. I was also going through not teaching anymore in that space. A relationship was dissolving. I was going through a divorce and I was trying to find my light in the darkness.
Mm.
And that book is dedicated to two of my best friends, Ashik and Samer. They've known me since they were 10 years old and they used to call me Life.
Really?
Right? Like Life, just because of what I brought to a space. And it was 2020. They got me out of the house. They're like, we're going to go somewhere and eat lunch.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of the lunch, they're like, what's going on with you?
Mm.
And I'm like, you know how you say, I'm fine. I just don't want to feel like cutting out all the motions of being locked in. And I was super healthy physically. And usually people that see you on the surface level, like, because I was some of the healthiest I've ever been.
Wow.
You couldn't tell, but they know me.
Mm.
And they're like, that life we saw in you, that light you had is gone.
Wow.
Like, this isn't you.
Mm.
And that started the journey to this book. How do you get your light back in the darkness?
Wow.
Like where you're still in the darkness, but you become the light.
Yes.
So not pretending to smile, not pretending to be happy, but like really inspiring yourself.
Yeah.
So I started going through quotes, African proverbs every morning, chasing inspiration, chasing that light. And really it's the mess, mental, emotional, spiritual. It starts off with chasing that creativity, that, ooh, that epiphany.
Yeah.
When you make a connection.
Mental, emotional,
spiritual.
Wow.
The mental is like chasing curiosity. The emotional is a connection that you make to your own personal story, right? A connection that you make with words, right? Where a lot of people consider passion just something you're excited about, something you're good at. Passion, once in this journey, I realized passion comes from the Latin pati that means to suffer.
Yes, I was in the room and I heard you. Yeah, so the passion of the Christ.
Yeah, it's the suffering of the Christ.
Wow.
It's a suffering that's worthwhile. So your passion is something that's worth suffering for. Mm. And it also makes your suffering fall away. So this book is full of my passions, things that made my suffering fall away, that brought light to me. Wow. So that'd be an emotional in the book. And then the spiritual is taking action. Because spiritual, the spirit moves.
Yeah.
Spirit comes from the word inspirare, which means to move someone supernaturally through to speech or action.
Wow.
So that means you can write, now I want to play basketball. Somebody can play basketball, now I feel like I need to draw. Somebody draws and I feel like I need to speak.
Mm.
Like the gap, it doesn't make sense for you to be doing this thing and it moves me to do something.
Wow.
But it's a fire in you.
Yeah.
So that's why inspiration, the spiritual is always an action that you can take today.
Mm.
Whether it's a difficult cold shower, whether it's eating a meal that's going to give you energy, whether it's you taking a dance class because you said you've always wanted to, you taking a boxing class, whether it's, you know, you just calling somebody and saying, I love you, right? The spiritual is always you taking an action.
So that's the spirit. Wow. That's cool. So you were the main speaker at the Atlanta graduation.
Oh, at University of Georgia. Yeah, when I graduated 2013, University of Georgia, December graduation. Why? This was an important piece of my journey in becoming a speaker because luckily it wasn't a valedictorian that got to give the speech, or at least not the perfect, because I was not him. But they let you audition. You would audition in front of deans and different like major constituents of the campus.
Wow.
And whoever had the best speech. And I was, at the time, I was asking myself, can I become a speaker? Should I? This is something that's calling to me. This is one of those points where you get to prove something to yourself. Right? If I can deliver, if I can write a speech and deliver it in a way where they're saying, no, this is the one we're going to choose out of all the talent we have on this campus.
Wow.
And for me to deliver that speech and to be selected, that was one of those defining moments where I stood on that stage and then they received it and they clapped and it was so much joy. And I was like, I can do this.
Wow.
Now, what's the pathway do you take to get there?
Yeah.
And it's been a long journey of teaching for 7 years, middle school, high school science, working in clinical research, like so many different things to bring me full circle to be in this moment. So I call myself the most blessed man alive, not because I'm so gifted, I'm so talented. What I'm blessed with is the people around me. Like you said, the who, not the how.
Yeah.
I've had who's that have fed me from birth.
Wow.
Where I've been given high expectations, like systems to thrive in. People that, one of the most profound things I was ever learned from a teacher, she's a South African teacher. She said, every child needs an adult that's irrationally committed to their success.
That is irrational.
Irrationally. When I was a student falling asleep in class, it was still teachers that like, what are you doing? You're better than this. Not that you're nothing.
Right.
No, you're everything. Like, I expect more from you. Seven older sisters where I had, where some people have one mom, I had 12, right? Like, this is how it's done. This is not how it's done. Like, and I'm hard-headed, so it took a while to listen. But when you get 12 more opportunities than everybody else, it clicks. So I'm just a byproduct of greatness. I'm a byproduct of being loved well. So a lot of people like that idea of, I always love the Bane example of where Bane is talking to Batman and he's like, you think you were born the in the darkness. Yeah. Like, you know, he said, I was born in it. I was molded by it.
Yeah.
By the time I saw the light, I was already a man. That's the opposite for me. I was born in the light, molded by it. I've been loved correctly for a lifetime. By the time I saw the darkness, I had become the light.
Wow.
So now I step into spaces that should be dark and I'm operating differently. And that's what a lot of this book is. By the time I really reached darkness in my life, I had lost my light and I started going through all the people that have taught me, the habits they had, the different things they were doing in order to get my light back. So this is one thing that's beautiful to start your day, to end your day, and help you get your light back or maintain your light.
Yeah. So I see the eating. I mean, I know that you're, you're a vegan?
Plant-based vegan.
So tell us about that.
The plants.
Tell us about that. Is that that's pretty hard.
Yeah, my degree in school was nutrition science, so dietetics. So I was supposed to know about nutrition. But like I said, I was in school just a finesser. If there was a corner to be cut, I had two pairs of scissors. I graduated. Yes, I studied. Yes, I quote unquote passed everything I needed to, but I didn't learn to where I graduated. People are like, what should I eat? And I'm like, drink water, eat vegetables, the generic thing that anybody would say. And I was like, okay, I have to realize, how do I actually live out my degree?
Wow.
How do I actually be able to give people nutrition advice that's founded and rooted in something? So every year since I graduated school, or at least for the first 5-6 years, I do a different nutrition challenge for the first 3 months of the year. So in like 2014, I did keto. In 2015, I did pescatarian. 2016, I did like no refined sugars. 2018, I do something else.
Wow.
And in 2019, the thing was, I took a plant-based nutrition course from Cornell University.
Okay.
Right. And I was supposed to just be vegan for 3 months. And I was like, me, I'm Nigerian. So if you're eating food and it doesn't have goat, chicken, if there's not flesh on the plate, it's a snack. So that's just how we operate.
Yeah.
So I did not think I was going to do this forever. I'm just going to see how it affected with my body. And then I'd move forward. And I'd be able to tell people this is what happened. I did it for 3 months and it went terrible. I was not eating plants, though. I was eating Oreos because Oreos are vegan, by the way.
Are they?
Everything, yeah, everything in Publix and all these different places, anything that was unhealthy and vegan, I was probably eating it. So I got less healthy in the 3 months.
Wow.
But I was like, this isn't honest. I can't really tell people, like, I can't give people value because I didn't do it correctly. I took another 3 months and I started making power bowls, things I talk about in the book, different things that the course I was taking was talking about.
Yep.
And I never felt better.
Wow.
Like I used to snore a lot. Now I can breathe through both nostrils.
Wow.
Breathe clearer. My movement, my sleep, my joints. I don't have knee pain. I don't have back pain. Different things that I were dealing with in my 20s.
Wow.
In my 30s, I'm not dealing with. I feel better now than I did at 18, than I did at 19. A student earlier told me, how old are you? I'm like 35. I'm like, you look so young. And I'm like, it's not, you know, we do what we can.
Right,
you know, so, and a lot of it is my diet. A lot of it is that transition. So it was supposed to be 3 more months and I just never went back.
How much protein are you eating a day?
Funny enough, I don't even have to think about it.
Wow.
We make a, the reason why protein is important, but we make a big deal about it because it's marketable. Protein, like you need it for your muscles. We do the same thing we did with milk, with protein. Milk isn't necessarily as good for you, but protein is just really good marketing. But you can get protein from chickpeas and beans and different things naturally.
Yeah.
You can get it from different lots of different sources and it'll be enough. Something as simple as if you were really that worried, one protein shake a day on top of you eating enough calories, you're going to be fine. Especially if you're a meat eater. If we're a vegan, it'd be another discussion.
Yeah.
If you eat chicken, if you eat beef, if you eat anything like that, if you eat egg, protein is not an issue for you. Just eat enough food. On this side, but I found that the main thing that was really holding me back is looking back. If I look back at ribs, I look back at like chicken, beef, all the things, it still smells delicious. It still looks delicious. I'm positive it's still delicious. And for me, it's not about the animals. It's about that light. It's about having that energy. It's about being the best version of myself. So as I say in the book, one of the chapters is talking about, one of the proverbs in the book says, a wise man builds bridges while a foolish man builds walls against flowing water.
Yeah.
So I look at my diet now as, instead of building walls, like I'll never eat this again, I'll never eat this again, I'll never eat this again, I find the meals I have now are like bridges to the healthiest version of myself, where the flowing water, the flowing water is my natural habits, where in the worst times, I want to go back to these different things. But now I have these bridges, these meals that I love that also love me back, where I eat it and my body isn't like, okay, let's sit down for at least 30 minutes. Like we need to reflect.
Yeah.
We need to recuperate. Our body needs to fight the food we just ate.
Right.
Versus I ate, now I have this energy. It's like your eyes light up. And I don't like, energy drinks give you like a buzz.
Yeah.
You eat a good plant-based meal that not only is good for you, but tastes good. It has good flavor, good texture. Your body hums. Right, you feel like you're in that pocket. It's a clarity,
yeah.
As opposed to a rah-rah, it's a rah-rah.
I call it flow.
You're a flow,
yeah.
Absolutely, and that's what this is about.
Wow. So people get this book. I think audio, I would encourage them to, because they're gonna get your voice. By the way, that's a great marketing strategy, because if people love the audiobook, they're like, we got to get this guy in. We got to hire him.
No, right? Absolutely.
You give him that sample. What are you doing with Fee? Talk a little bit about Fee. We'll tag him here, but what does Fee mean?
Fee is Foundation for Economic Education. They're about economic freedom, the liberty of being able to start a business, being able to thrive, being able to specialize in what you're best at, and just like the spontaneous order that creates for other people.
Yeah.
So they're all about just really liberty. And I came in talking about entrepreneurship. I came in talking about, you know, how to really this, what we're talking about now, how people to be the best version of themselves. And what I what I enjoy about Phi and getting to speak for Phi is the people that it connects me with and what I get to share. Like even looking at students today and when they receive information, when I talk about, today I was talking about like that beautiful selfishness of incentives, right? The quote I think is by Adam Smith, it's not the benevolence of the butcher or the baker that we get our bread or we get our dinner. It's like that self-interest.
Wow.
And it connects with me because I always look at a beautiful selfishness. Ubuntu is a South African term right, that I connected to. And Ubuntu means I am because we are.
Mm.
That Nelson Mandela said, Ubuntu isn't how do I take care of you before me? Mm. How do I take care of myself in a way that blesses the entire community?
Wow.
Like there is no me without you.
Wow.
But I don't try and fill your cup by emptying mine. I fill mine to overflow.
Mm.
And you can drink well too.
That's cool.
So that's the whole idea of it.
How'd you get connected with Phi?
Through, like you said, my man in the backstage was, his name is Kamau Alatunji. We still work together now.
Wow.
But he was the one that was working there at the time that gave me an opportunity, gave me a chance, connected me, saw my gift speaking on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And said, like, you know, I see you, you know what you're doing. And then he brought me in. So I still work with him to this day. Like, he's Kamau Alatunji. He has a brand, Revolution of One, that I really work with as well. And he's a blessing. Shout out, Kamau. You him.
That's cool. That's cool. So let's say you've talked a lot about the light. What we're at Cedarville University. It's a faith-based school. What has God played in your role? What role has God played in your life, your journey?
It's hard to put into words. I grew up in a Christian household, so faith-based.
Yeah,
like church every Sunday, and now I look at my charges, and when I look at my company, Ruggedly Handsome Young Men's Establishment, and my goal is to create self-sustaining and thriving Black communities with Black men across the world. And I struggled with a long time of wanting it to be a Christian organization and thinking about how do I battle that when I'm knowing that there are Black men that are Hindu and Black men that are Islam and Black men that I wouldn't get to reach because, or it'd be harder to reach because that gateway of this is a Christian-based organization would make them feel as though this isn't a place for you.
Right.
So what I found on my journey is one of the most brilliant people I ever knew, she told me this book, I can't remember the author, but it's Jesus in Search of Man. And I still haven't read it, but just the idea. She said that it's not that God is, or we're chasing after God and God is missing. Like the whole story of the Bible, read it with the lens of Jesus is chasing you. God is chasing you. God is like, how do I get this man, these people back to me?
Wow.
I'll give you my son. I'll give you these different things. It's a journey.
Yeah.
So my whole goal now as I go through my organization is to help people be the healthiest version of themselves, but also to sit in silence. Like when people see my light, they see my joy, they see my energy.
Yeah.
And they ask me, what do I believe in? I get to say I'm a Christian.
Wow.
Right. I get to say, God is part of that light.
Wow.
And if anything else, sit in silence. Right. Just sit in silence. And God's looking for you.
It's powerful.
If Jesus is what I believe and he's who I think he is, he's looking for you.
Wow.
And if you really want to know, ask him to show him to you. Don't ask me.
Yeah.
I'm not him. Right, sit in the silence and ask for it.
Wow.
And I believe he'll show himself to you. So my job is to just create moments of silence.
That's powerful. So what did you just say? Rugged something something?
Ruggedly Handsome Young Men's Establishment.
Is that have a website?
RhymeLLC.com. That's my website, RhymeLLC.com.
So it stands for Ruggedly?
Ruggedly Handsome Young Men's Establishment. R for rugged is in we're not perfect and we're never going to be. H for handsome is in, yeah, you look good, but you can still be molded with your own two hands. That's old English. YM for young men. The goal is 100 million young Black men across the globe chasing the healthiest version of themselves, like transforming their communities that way. And an establishment because it's about everybody. on the way to touching 100 million Black men, helping them become healthy. There's not a man, woman, or child on this planet, Black, blue, green, yellow, that won't be blessed as well.
Wow. Wow. So you are definitely reaching out to the young Black men, but fee is all. And then you're doing keynotes, you're doing
workshops.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm looking to do. As far as the book, I want to be able to turn this into workshop series and different events where people can be guided through.
Yeah.
So I look at one keynote is where if you're trying to find the light in the darkness,
yeah,
I give you the roadmap, right? And saying, okay, this is what you do. Yeah. This is how you find, that's what a keynote is.
That's cool.
But the workshop series is, let me walk with you.
Mm.
So it's one thing to have a keynote and tell you, you're going to fall and pick yourself up.
Yeah.
It's another thing where I do a workshop and then I come back and you fall in and I help pick you up I say, keep walking.
That's
so good. That's the difference between a one-off and then the workshop series.
I like that. So folks, get Tunji to come to your organization, your church, your school. He does corporate, but this book is fantastic. You saw me. I just downloaded the audio about 25 minutes ago. So I'm going to be listening to it, but he is inspiring and you can tell he's been through the journey. It's not theory. He's really speaking to the light because he's walking with the light. So thanks for coming. And last thing, you're coming to the Impact Conference.
Oh, yes,
in
sir.
October.
Yes, sir.
So you'll be back on campus, cedarville.edu/impact. You'll be speaking to adults.
Come on now.
So why should people show up at the Impact Conference?
Because number one is going to be amazing outside of me. But I'll tell you what I can provide is whenever I speak, I ask God to speak through me, not from me. So I don't want it to be about me, but everything I prepare for to speak, I want you to leave with something where you get so much value. But if you were to just take one thing and apply it, there's no way your life doesn't get better. There's no way the impact isn't felt, not just by you where you feel it, but other people get to feel your impact.
It's powerful. All right. Get your ticket today, cedarville.edu/impact.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.